Hey Podders, welcome to episode 103 of CosPod, the podcast for all things cosplay. Welcome to all of our listeners here and around the world. We hope you guys are having a fantastic fall weekend, spring for those who listen to us in the Southern Hemisphere. And I wanted to briefly start this episode, I know, down note, but I did want to mention the attacks that just happened in Paris, France, as we're recording this. They're still trying to sort through details and what happened, but mostly what I wanted to say is that we offer our condolences and our prayers to those who are in Paris at this point. We know that there are cosplayers who do listen to us in France, and so I would like to say we are with you. Please stay strong, brothers and sisters, and we will do whatever we can to help you out. So stay strong, guys. All right. So, cosplay updates. You're probably going to have more of this than I do because I actually just officially sold my house.
Yay.
And signed paperwork. So basically for the next month, I'm going to be frantically packing all of my belongings into boxes. I just went out and looked at apartments today. I have a fair idea of where I'm going to live. And I'm actually really excited to move. Not just to get out of the house, but because I really want to work on cosplay again. I have Palutena from Smash Brothers and Order of the Lotus Irelia both on my plate already that I really want to start working on. But for now, all of my crafting supplies have to go into a big box with tape.
That means we could play Smash together. It means we got Smash cosplay. That's cool. Another thing that we can cosplay as together. That'd be great.
Yeah, I was potentially looking at Palutena for either a con or for a con that comes after it next year. I don't know yet. It's really going to depend on getting my hands on supplies and being able to work on things because, of course, we have AllCon coming up soon.
Yeah.
And that's going to be consuming more of our time than we would probably like in terms of cosplay.
Well, then, how about this?
I'm eager to get started.
I bet. Since you don't have any cosplay updates, since ANT is next weekend, do you have any idea of what you may be bringing with you? Or is it going to be like me, we just pick one from the closet and hope for the best?
I picked one from the closet that was the most casual I could manage so that I can move around in it if I need to for interviewing and such. But, you know, I'll be honest, and I know a lot of our listeners, they have body image and weight issues, and I totally get that. I'm having the same problem right now in that in the last 6 months, I basically ended up going through a cycle of depression. For those who don't know, I'm being very brutally honest. And I ended up gaining more weight than I probably should have. And you can't really see it on me, but I know it's there because I see it every morning. So I picked a cosplay that I may not even fit into. And if I don't fit into it at ANT, I'm going to be really ashamed of myself. So, you know, I tried to choose something comfy, something easy that I know does not need repair at this point, something warm because we're supposed to have a very strong cold front come through that weekend. Of course, Texas weather, it constantly changes. But I also want to give my cosplay kind of equal wear time so that I rotate out between what I've got. I don't want to wear the same thing every time. And I've only worn Pyrrha for maybe a quarter day from when I ended up being forced to leave Akon for work. Yeah, I was scheduled to wear Pyrrha the next day. And I couldn't actually wear her as long as I had planned on wearing her because I had to leave for work. So I want to give it a full shot this time.
Well, see, that's something. That's an update. There we go.
Oh, and thank you to the ANT staff for putting up the schedule.
Finally.
And the floor map. Yeah.
Did they actually put up a floor map? I haven't seen it.
They did.
Okay,
they did.
Good. I had to go PDFing and Googling.
Well, I would strongly suggest to them in the future, and I mean this in the most constructive way possible, seriously, we're trying to help. Please consider putting these things up 2 weeks before the con and making them available on the website. As con goers, we get that schedules are always going to be tentative. Things can always change last minute. We know. So you don't necessarily have to preface it that way because it makes it look like the schedule is incomplete and that it's unfinished and that it's still a work in progress. And for planning purposes, that does not comfort me.
Especially a week out from a convention, and it wasn't until a couple of us had to prompt you for requests for a schedule did you guys post one. That doesn't bode well. Communication is the number one thing any convention needs to have, whether it's small or large. I don't care what your size is. Communicate, communicate, communicate. And if you cannot have that content to us within 2 weeks before a con, it doesn't make us feel any better about going. It
And even
worries
if you're
us.
still working on it,
Which is
then please
fine.
say so. Because I did notice on the Facebook and with the website that there were attempts at communication from multiple attendees that went unanswered. And if you're a panelist, that can be a panicking moment because you don't know if your panel is even running, let alone where it's going to be held, what time it's going to be held, and that sort of thing. So please, we would urge you for next year's improvements, even though this will probably be said at the feedback panel, please communicate with your fans as soon as possible and as often as possible. And please have your content up to date at least 2 weeks before the con. We're not expecting 2 months, but 2 weeks is a good planning block. I mean, as press, we would like to know what we are able to film and where so that we can start assembling a filming schedule between the two of us. And that's really hard to do when there's no schedule. So that is the end of my cosplay
Constructive criticism, constructive feedback. Okay, so I guess for my updates, I don't really have a whole lot. I finally actually started just working on cosplay earlier this morning. I've been so busy with work, and I've been quite literally at this point fighting with a couple of fabric companies who've been giving me really shoddy service. And I'm still fighting with them. One of them is giving me a really hard time about getting certain fabrics in for some unknown reason. So that's why there's been such a hold up is just me not getting my materials because I'm still working with them, trying to get the crap I paid for, preferably sooner than later. That'd be nice. So what I've been starting working on is, as you can see on my dress form, I've got a hoop skirt that I've kind of jacked up and I'm making lots of adjustments to. I found a nice one off of Amazon. It was maybe about $20 and it has steel boning in it, which is super awesome. But it was incredibly long. It was actually from my waist to the floor and it needs to be way higher than that. The waistband itself is a drawstring, which anybody who's worn a hoop skirt can tell you, drawstring waistband sucks, donkey butt. Like, there's no way around it because that cord just digs into your waist and it is uncomfortable. Not to mention, it slips a ton, a ton, a ton. So, what I've ended up doing was taking up the waist. I think I took off maybe about 4 inches in the waist just so it could move up. I need to adjust the waistband though. The elastic is a little bit too big because you can see the waistband markings that should not be seen. It should be sitting a little bit higher than that. Whoops. So other than that, I need to take it in a little bit. I also had to go into the steel boning itself and crack open the casings and adjust them because the bottom hoop goes to about 120 inches in diameter. And that's a little bigger than what I really needed. I needed more like about a 90. You could take this particular one in up to a point. It was able to go in about 100 inches, but I was like, no, I still needed to go more than that. So I had to break open the casing and been adjusting that. So that's why it kind of looks like a mess back there. What I'm doing to mitigate this look, because if I put any fabric on top of it, it's going to have like that lampshade effect, which is not very pretty at all. So I need to stick more fabric on top of it. So I'm making a petticoat. I'm debating on if I should keep the petticoat separate or not. It may just be sewn on top of that. So I've got a giant pile of tulle that I'm working with right now. I literally have 10 yards of tulle just sitting over here, waiting for me to destroy. It is very awesome. I haven't messed with tulle in a while. I'm really looking forward to it. I started earlier, so I'm at the point now where my bottom layer is going to be in the process of ruffling and scrunching it together. I wish I had a ruffle foot. I really need to get one of those for my sewing machine because that would be so much better. But yeah, this is going to be for my Final Fantasy XIV costume that's in the process. It's going to be made entirely out of velvet. Why I'm doing that, I don't know. Shoot me now. Because it's also going to involve applique. Why I'm doing that, I don't know. Shoot me now. But yeah, this is my project for. I know.
There's a term for people who enjoy punishing themselves.
Me. I'm clearly psychotic, but it'll look really pretty. And The velvet is not like a heavy velvet. It's got a cotton backing to it, so it'll be nice and light. Still not something I would ever wear in the summer, God forbid, not here. But it'll be very comfy for the fall and winter, so that'll be something nice to look forward to. But yeah, this has been my project of the day. I'm finally getting back into sewing. Thank goodness. And then next weekend's A&T, so there goes my sewing next weekend.
I'm actually a little glad that we're about to have sales because I'm sitting there going, okay, so I need to still order fabric for a few of my next costumes,
Sure.
waiting for those sale prices to hit, waiting for those Black Friday free shipping deals to hit, or Cyber Monday and whatnot. It's the only good thing about that time of the year is that I can get things that I know I need anyway, but at least I can pay a little bit less for them.
Exactly. Every little bit helps.
Definitely.
Especially in our case, now that I've un and I apologize for this, now I have turned you on to some of the nicer fabrics. I realize that you're spending a little bit more money on fabrics than you used to. Oops.
Yeah, and being that I'm about to pay about $200 more a month in rent than I do in mortgage, with insurance on top of that, I'm not going to have quite as much disposable income as I used to. So that will equate into having to wait for sales now to regularly buy stuff and cutting back on the number of costumes I make. But, you know, hashtag adulting.
And say hashtag sorry, not sorry.
Well, I can always go to swap meets and just go, hey, does anybody have some awesome fabric? Oh, hey, here's a costume I can make with that.
There you go. You never know. Swap meets can be entertaining.
They can. All right. Is that what you've
That's
got
all.
for updates?
That's all I got, man. I
All
wish I
right.
had more, but eventually.
All right. So let's head into cosplay in the news here.
Yay!
We have a ton of articles.
So many articles. Val was searching lots.
All right. So the first one we've got is, of course, anybody who is not living under a rock knows that Star Wars: The Force Awakens is coming out here in about a month-ish, and
Yay!
everybody and their brother is going to be out in a movie theater that night.
Damn right.
And they're all going to be wearing Jedi and Sith robes and carrying blasters and wearing lightsabers, right?
Heck no.
No! Unfortunately, because of some of the events in Colorado, among other places, theaters have opted to clamp down more than a little bit on what you can wear in terms of costuming and cosplay to these premieres. So, unfortunately, the days of having an accurate costume are gone, unfortunately. Replicas are not allowed. So basically, theaters more or less will allow you to come in your robes, and that's about it. No masks, no blasters, no lightsabers,
No face
limits on
paint.
makeup use. Yeah. So all of those things said, I mean, you can wear your Sith and Jedi robes if you want to, but everything else, the theaters are basically telling you to leave at home or they don't let you in.
Yeah, and I understand why they're doing it. A number of people have actually prompted me and asked me, hey, are you going to wear one of your Star Wars costumes? And it's like, no, I can't because the theater that I'm going to has incredibly strict rules about what we can wear, what I can't wear. I could probably wear my Amidala, but I'm not wearing that really nice thing in a movie theater. God, no. And really, if you're not too sure what the costuming standards are for the theater that you're attending, most theaters have now updated their websites. I can pretty much tell you that the big three chain theaters, which are like Cinemark, AMC, all those guys, they're pretty strict on their rules. So it's just best not even to bother with the costume. Just leave it all at home. If you do wear a costume, some theaters are actually going to be checking you, like TSA style checking you. So you may want to just forego it, go casual. Don't mess with it. But there is one theater that is going to be doing something special and will allow you just to wear whatever the heck you want, and that's the Alamo Draft House. So if you happen to have theaters to one of their chains, like theaters to one of their chains, tickets to one
Tickets
of
to
their
one of their theaters.
theaters. There we go. That my brain was not working with my mouth. It was going in two different directions. If you happen to be going to Alamo Draft House for Star Wars: The Force Awakens, No limits. You can wear whatever you want. You can bring in your prop replica weapons as long as you
No
act like you're
blasters.
no blasters. The only thing is that as long as you act like you're at a convention sweat setting, so don't swing around your lightsaber. If your lightsaber becomes distracting, they're going to ask you to turn it off and take it back to your car. So just common sense, that's all. But otherwise, you can dress up however you want to. You can wear the masks. You can wear the face paint. Go for it. And I'm like, yes. Because really, this is the one movie franchise where people really go all out and they do the costume thing. You don't really see that with any other movies. I was surprised to find somebody dressed up as Loki when we went to go see Thor 2. Like, that surprised me. I was shocked by that.
A
But
lot
it's
of
not
Lord of
very
the Rings
common.
fans do it for theirs too.
Yeah, I can definitely see that too. So yeah, I get it. It sucks, but at the same time, they're private businesses. They can do whatever they want. It's their rules. Don't fuss about it. Just abide by it and go have fun.
If you want to celebrate it in that fashion, what I would recommend is actually something that I ended up doing for Lord of the Rings when the second in the Hobbit trilogy came out, and that is to hold a watching party, a viewing
There you
party of your
go.
own.
Yeah.
So you can either, request to hold it at the theater and make special arrangements so that they know that you're coming in costume for a private viewing for your company, or you can basically wait until it leaves theaters and then, go rent out a place and have a projector screen and just do it that way. And that way you can bring all your own food, bring all your own drinks, cosplay, whatever the heck you want, including blasters and lightsabers and whatnot. If you want to have lightsaber duels, go ahead and do that.
The other thing I want to say is some of these theaters may be hiring the Rebel Legion and the 501st to come out and just kind of take photos and all that. Don't get offended by these people. Don't make fun of them. Don't feel like, hey, those guys got to wear their costumes. Why can't I wear mine? It's because they were hired to do this. So just keep that in mind. Don't start anything, please. Be respectful of them.
We don't want to give the community a black eye over this.
Yeah.
And we don't want them to become even more restrictive in the future and just say no costumes at all, ever.
Exactly. Let's just play by the rules. Keep it cool.
Yeah.
And they'll be cool to us.
Basically, when the fear, uncertainty, and doubt have blown over with this, and hopefully it will, because to be honest, and this is my own opinion, this has nothing to do with Cospod, we shouldn't have to live in fear every day of our lives.
Thank
Every
you.
minute of our lives.
Thank you.
And it's kind of getting to the point of ridiculousness where we're basically having to fear everything, everywhere, and everyone. And again, my personal opinion, but if we basically have to go the rest of our lives having to carry clear backpacks, clear purses, be inspected TSA style every time we enter any sort of private institution, have our clothes dictated to us, and that sort of thing, have our food checked for poison, God forbid. There's no point in doing it anymore. So my hope is that this whole thing with costumes in the theater blows over because one idiot should not have to ruin it for the rest of us for the rest of our lives. So my hope is that, before we pass on in our generation, that we are allowed to cosplay as fandoms again. You missed it. There you go.
I was waiting on it to load, sorry.
Yeah, I know. I saw the notification pop up. I was like, nope, gone.
It's
The
like,
moment
crap,
passed.
it's still loading, it's still loading. Load faster. I should have preloaded. Preach
Yeah,
it, sister.
but so if you want to at least have most of the cosplaying experience for Star Wars, head out to Alamo Draft House. There are multiple locations in the metro area, so there's probably one near you somewhere. All right. Next up, you can go ahead and intro this for the kamikaze attendance spike.
Yeah, so this was kind of interesting because Kamikaze is still a pretty young convention, especially for West Coast conventions, comic book style. This is incredibly young, and it's seen a huge attendance spike this year, 21% over Halloween weekend, which people probably went bananas in their costumes. 77,000 people descended on this freaking place in LA. Oh my goodness, that's insane!
Wasn't this the convention that claimed to have the national cosplay competition?
I believe so,
I
yes.
think it
Because
was this one.
Yeah, I haven't seen any photos of their actual cosplay contest, though, which is kind of awkward and weird.
That kind of made me amused that they can claim the national title.
The national. It's like, really? Come on,
Really?
guys.
You know, I can understand everybody having their own costume contest. A lot of conventions do that, but
Sure.
what makes you the king? I mean, we're going to be talking about the BlizzCon competition later on. I would almost guarantee with money that everything that won at BlizzCon would blow everything at Kamikaze out of the water.
Darn right it would. Oh my goodness. I will show pictures with the
So,
episode.
with all due respect to Kamikaze, and we are comic
Right.
fans too, so we're saying this in the most loving way possible. Please don't try and put national on it. Make it a costume contest. If Stanley wants to endorse it, that's fan-freaking-tastic. Great, go for it. We support this.
Sure.
Please don't try and take the title national. It just sounds pompous. It really does.
Really does. And it's
There
like,
is no governing cosplay body to determine this.
exactly. Even WCS is not the governing cosplay body. It's just for that particular contest. That's it. So silly.
But it looks like their numbers, the original prediction was over 76,000, and I think they had mentioned that they almost crested 80,000.
That's insane. That's insane.
I mean, that's starting to get comparable to SDCC, Dragon Con, and NYCC.
Oh, that's already more than than Dragon Con. That's already more than Dragon Con.
Yeah, and that's amazing. All right, with that kind of number, you start having trouble literally physically finding a place to put people. You have to stuff bodies somewhere.
Or put an attendance cap. It's got to be one or the other.
Wow.
I know. It's just imagine if something like that happened at Akon. Oh my goodness.
Please don't. I don't wish that on
I
anyone at all.
don't either.
No.
Oh
I don't even like thinking about it. All right. So next up, we have Best Cosplay. This is one of those periodic type articles that come out where somebody sees a cosplay from a particular series and goes, "That's the best cosplay of X character, X series that I've ever seen, and no one can ever top this." Great opinion, dude. This particular one is a Kotaku article, a One Punch Man cosplay. That the article header reads, "No One Punch Man cosplay will ever top this." Like, yeah, if you look at it, they have good costumes. They appear to be well made. The pictures are definitely well done. There is some photoshopping done here. But at the same time, it's like, well, best according to whom or what?
Yeah.
To you. And what that basically does is it's an automatic challenge to other people saying, no one can ever top this. Oh yeah. So of course, people are going to take that as a direct personal challenge and possibly a direct personal affront. But the other is that for those on the other side of the coin who hear, well, this is the best ever, no one's going to top it. Well, they're
Right.
going to sit there and go, okay, well, best has already been done, I guess, so let's close that book and I won't even try. That seems kind of damaging to me, damaging to the community, because either you're going to sit there and try and outdo them like it's some sort of competition, which, unless you're at an actual competition, cosplay is not supposed to be a competition, guys, unless it's with yourself. But if it's discouraging people from even trying because somebody else has done it better, because they either had more money, more time, they were sponsored, whatever, then that just takes people out of the community entirely. And that's somewhat wrong.
It doesn't give a good impression on what cosplayers can achieve because they see a huge news website like Kotaku say, this is the best cosplay ever. No one else is going to top this. You know, somebody who's starting out is like, well, I really wanted to make that, but if that's the best, I can't beat that. And it could completely discourage them from wanting to continue with the hobby. And that's not what we should be doing. Not at all.
Yeah, so it. Don't get us wrong. It's cool to say that you think some costume is the best, personally, so long as you have that caveat that that is your opinion. That's okay, because obviously everybody has an opinion. We're not going to stop you. And if you want to proclaim that opinion to the world, that's fine. Just kindly, like with Kamikaze, don't try and make yourself the authority on what's the best. Because cosplay doesn't really have a governing, authoritative body. And as important as you are, as important as you think you are, that authoritative body is not you. I'm sorry.
Exactly. Until
So.
someone somewhere comes up with a giant governing body of cosplay, which will never happen. And there is no authority. You do what you want.
Just because somebody says something is the best, well, that's their opinion. Great on you, dude. You be you, and let everybody else have a shot at making that character too, and enjoy it.
Exactly. Don't get discouraged if somebody says it's the best when you don't think yours is going to be. Go ahead and still cosplay. What's going to stop you?
Agreed. And thank you to the gentlemen in this for wearing dance belts.
Thank you so much. Oh my God. I'm glad
Because
you noticed that too.
a lot of the costumes involve spandex down
Yes.
under. So thank you, gentlemen, for not flashing your junk.
Much appreciated.
And if there were ladies and they had proper undergarments, I would thank them too. All right, so next up, you want to go ahead and introduce Miss Jamie Lee Curtis?
Yeah, absolutely, because she's becoming like habitual at this where she starts trolling conventions dressed up as characters. And usually she does it pretty casually too, but she's done it so well that people don't realize that it's her at cons. She did this at BlizzCon to go with her kids because her kids are really big into World of Warcraft, which is funny. I figured Jamie Lee Curtis has got to be one of those hippy dippy moms who probably wasn't big into video games. Completely blows that out of the water. She lets her kids just get as nerdy as they want to be, which is so awesome. Like, she's done this before at Comic Con, she's done this before at WonderCon, so this is habitual for her. She's like a closet cosplayer, and we need to have like a documentary following her every time she does this.
There's a lot more celebrities that are doing this incognito, and they seem to have like the best time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you got Adam Savage level, which is like big, crazy, over-the-top costume. But then you have like, Bryan Cranston, who is cosplaying as himself, and nobody realizes that it's him. So you got so many different levels of it that it's kind of cool.
That's kind of meta when you cosplay as yourself.
Exactly, right?
I mean, you have simple cosplay like pulling a Homer Simpson or Bart Simpson mask over your head. And then you have what Jamie Lee Curtis did, which is a fairly elaborate mask.
It's a very happy mask, and even like, the wig and the hair for it is pretty accurate to the character. She's got a lot
And
selfies on her Twitter feed of her trolling around the con, going like, "Man, we're having a great time here."
Please note on this one, this is also from Kotaku. They did not say she was the best, and I appreciate that. They just said
Thanks.
she nailed it, which I agree. She nailed it.
Oh yeah, she did a great job of it.
I'm sure that there are plenty of people who also nail it, so, good on them. All
More
right.
celebrities need to do that.
Agreed. All right, so that is the end of our cosplay in the news segment. And so now we have our BlizzCon coverage.
Yay! Which is going to be pretty quick, but that's okay.
Yep. If you would go ahead and intro this one.
Yeah, absolutely. So, we know that BlizzCon was just a week ago. Was it a week ago or was it 2 weeks ago? It was a week ago, so it was last
It was a
weekend.
week.
Okay, so my timeline's a little off. So BlizzCon was last weekend, and we always know that one of the coolest things about them is all the flippin' awesome costumes of greatness, and oh my goodness. And this year was definitely no exception. There was a ton of kick butt costumes. Bar none, like some of the best stuff I have ever seen. And it amazes me that BlizzCon cosplayers top themselves every year. It's like, how could it get that much better? And then next year they surprise me with more cool stuff. It's like, how? It blows the mind. I don't understand. It's great. So, of course, the cosplay contest is one of the highlights of the convention. There isn't full video online of this because Blizzard is doing a digital pass situation where if you really want to see the full contest, it's $39.99. Or what you can do is go to IGN, which we have just linked in this episode, and they have a 3-minute video of all the cosplayers in the contest, as well as the top four winners. So enjoy that instead. But just seeing all these people on the stage is just like, wow, how did they make that? How do these things walk and move so fluidly? It just boggles my brain. It's so cool.
I'm sitting here watching this, and for those who have not kept an eye on Blizzard style costuming in the last few years, I would say, these are costumes that these people literally spend thousands of hours on. Some of them take more than a year to make. And so not only are they incredibly elaborate, but just the skill level and the elaborate detail that are in these costumes continues to increase every year. Part of that is the increase in materials that are available now that we have things like Warbler that are more readily available to the general public. But Blizzard has been incredibly helpful in giving more reference shots so that you can turn your character around 360 in game and actually see all of them. We've started to get concept sketches from the artists. We've actually started to get perspective sketches from different angles for all the characters. You can find all these really cool reference shots on the internet for these. And I'm sitting here just kind of watching this as it goes. And you can definitely tell that a lot of these guys have used tutorials that are on the internet. Because now everything lights up. There's a bunch of wings that now move that didn't in previous years. I've even seen a couple of weapons have smoke. They have smoke pellets in them. The armor is all jointed instead of being stiff. As you know, Val said, they move very smoothly. There are more prosthetics being used, incredible makeup. There are quad suits on stage that have moving legs now.
Those quad suits are so cool.
And everything is, all the appendages are articulated. It's just like, if you would have shown these to people 10 years ago, they would have thought you were a costume god. Nowadays, this is baseline normal. It's just insane of
Is that
how
crazy?
advanced these have become now.
It's so crazy. Like,
So
I
that,
still.
oh.
Oh my goodness. Like, I can't get over the guy who won third place, which is Imperius from Diablo 3. His armor is so ungodly smooth. It looks like real gold. Like, I cannot get over it. I just cannot stop staring at it. It's so clean.
I'm in love with the King of Blades. The makeup and prosthetic works is flawless.
I'm surprised he only got fourth place.
I
That
am
thing
too.
is so on par. He's got some brilliant photos. Like, someone has some photography from the convention, and it's just a bunch of portrait shots. Oh my God, the portrait shot is like glorious.
I mean, I'll give it to the first place winner. Entirely leather armor with perfect spherical shapes and insane detail. Yeah, I will give him first.
Oh yeah, definitely.
No question. But still, it's just like. I
I know. I just can't stop drooling at this, going like, can I cosplay like this, please? Like, why? Can I get to that level like now?
mean, any of these would be best in show winners at other conventions I've been to.
Easily, hands down.
And many of these didn't even place. But the quality is just that good.
It is so. Seriously, I want to be that type of cosplayer now. Can we just make that happen?
The only thing that I would comment on, as you know, I'm kind of glancing through this one more time, is that you can tell a lot of these guys haven't walked across a stage before.
Yes.
They're not performing. They're basically, you know, the mechanical walking to the first X, first pose, walk to the second X, second pose, walk to the third X, third pose. They're not performing. And I think it would add so much to the character if they would perform even the walking between nodes on the stage. Some people are doing it really well. Some people are really putting their all into this. I mean, even when they're sauntering across stage. But I feel like, oh, I want them to act just a just a little bit more.
I'm with you there. That's why I was kind of hoping that we could actually stream the video and we could talk through it and be like, okay, here's some pointers for everybody out there. But, Blizzard being Blizzard, that's fine.
Because these are gorgeous costumes. Like,
I
ah,
know.
plus they need to stand still.
Oh my God.
Please count 10.
That is the worst problem that BlizzCon has is that, and I think this is also part of the setup that they have too, is they tend to rush them across the stage because this entire contest only takes about 30 minutes for all of those competitors to walk and for Wil Wheaton to do his banter. And I'm like, dude, you got to let people stop and pose for a minute. Because, and that's the other thing too, is that you won't find very many photos from this contest because there's a lot of blurry shots. They tell people
Right.
to stop for a second and keep moving. And it's like, no, dudes, let them stop and hold, please, for the love of all that crap. Just let them pose.
At the minimum, count two, because most photographers, even amateur photographers, if you stop for 2 full seconds, they will get a shot.
Exactly.
It may not be a great shot,
It'll
but
be a shot.
it won't be blurry. So that's one of the only other things that I noticed with these guys that were walking the stage is that they were just fluidly in motion the entire time. It's like, no, don't me,
Like, I
me.
want to see your pretty work. Stop moving.
I want everyone else to see your pretty work.
Oh my goodness. But yeah, that to me is like always the highlight of the convention is just waiting for the cosplay contest video to come out because it just always makes me go, whoa, it's so cool.
It is, and it always sets a high bar for pretty much every other convention and every other cosplayer to go, okay, the Deathwing costume photos that have been going around, I think has set a new bar,
Yeah.
even though she didn't compete.
She
But
never
isn't
does, though, which is kind of surprising.
still, I mean, it was a piece of work. I'm not talking about her physically. I'm talking about the costume people. Get your
Costume.
mind out of the gutter. Yeah, her costume. Her
If
costume did the work.
you don't know who we're talking about, it's Jessica Nigri.
Yes, and it was quite a costume. And she made a decent post about it, and there's a making of video that has been posted online as well,
Oh,
if you want
okay,
to see how
good.
she did it. Yep. If you can't see it on her page, I'm sure if you Google it, there have been other cosplayers that have hosted it and linked to it. All right, is that the end of our cosplay coverage?
That's it for
For
cosplay and
BlizzCon?
for BlizzCon. Yes, it's rest for BlizzCon. We move on to next con.
Yes, there's more cosplay coverage, just no more cosplay at BlizzCon coverage. All
I
right,
guess.
so we had correspondent Catherine attending TwitchCon, which is a
What?
fairly it's a fairly newbie con. It's new. And she went ahead and was kind enough to give us her thoughts on it. Enjoy.
Hey guys, Valerie here, and I have Catherine with me who's right there.
Everybody.
And we have a special review for you guys. It's covering TwitchCon. It's inaugural year. Yay! So for those of you who don't know what TwitchCon is, it's a convention for Twitch. And if you don't know what Twitch is, then you're obviously one, not a gamer, two, not a nerd, three, completely unawares of all things the internet because it's Twitch. And this is its first year, correct?
That's right. This is the inaugural year. You were right.
And it's kind of interesting because reading up on it's not like a typical convention. TwitchCon is really about the streamers, for the streamers, by the streamers. So, Catherine, tell us what was the experience like?
All right. Well, Kevin, my husband and I are both very big fans of Twitch. It's basically become our second TV. Only now it's become our first TV. Watching a lot of, even things like poker. Mario Maker has been really popular. He watches a lot of Heroes of the Storm is popular with us. Hearthstone. So we were both really looking forward to the TwitchCon and meeting all of these people that we've been seeing online. I was only able to go on Saturday. I was working Friday, but it was really fun. People, it was just a big community event, and I think it was kind of hard to tell, you know, it being the inaugural year, it really hadn't found its stride quite yet. It was like I was kind of trying to be a little bit of PAX, a little bit of V3, a little bit of, you know, maybe this community event thing. But overall, I mean, they had plenty of booths. They had a big line of meet and greets. Really was really great. I actually had some good panels I was able to sit in. They actually had two women in gaming panels. I missed the one on Friday, but I got to sit on the one on Saturday, and that was really quite interesting. I was looking forward to seeing, you know, the impressions of the women that I often see, up and down the front page of Twitch. So that was great. I wasn't expecting to see any cosplay there, but it did pop up. We had a game called Paladins. There was definitely a couple cosplayers from that, and then there's always, you know, a couple people will come in, you know, like partially dressed, you know, kind of as like a hint or a clue to like their favorite genres or games, masks, wigs, you know, props. It was great. I could see it starting, and I really think they have the opportunity to really grow that. I mean, because the venue was spacious and pretty navigable. It was really a good time. There was always something to sit down and watch. There were all of the streamers were actually, you would find them streaming around the venue depending on, you know, what was available, what was going on. There were some tournaments going on. It was a little bit of everything. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how Twitch kind of specializes this convention here.
I say that's kind of interesting, because you said that there were actually streamers there who were streaming as the convention was going on. Is that right?
Not in that. Yes, they were on camera. There were interviews. There were some casting of events, but not necessarily sitting down at their computer and streaming, like, you know, in the way that you would expect.
Okay. That makes more sense, because I was like, wait, what?
Sorry, that was my mistake. Bad phrasing. Sorry.
No, you're good. It's like, that's very meta. Very much so. So any type of streamers there that either you know or maybe some of our cosplaying crowd would probably know of?
Oh, shoot. I know the ones that I was looking forward to most, which is kind of odd, definitely our poker friends. Jamie Staples was there, LK was there, which LK has a special place in our hearts because he was a former StarCraft pro, and now he's a poker pro, so that's really interesting to us. I think Waffles was there, a couple new, I can't think of off the top of my head right now. I can't, you know, tip your tongue. But no, like the lines were out the door. So I know great names. If you can think of them, I'm sure they were around. I mean, of course, you know, not everybody can make the appointment, can make the travel work. Trihex, who's actually, he's the Mario streamer, the speedrunner. We got to chat with him and it's really funny because these people are like, I'm internet famous. That's like you guys say all the time, like, it's weird being internet famous. Yeah, that's great. Like, this is just the looks of disbelief. It's really fun. So it's great to have the, you know, wow, you appreciate me. I appreciate you. You know the fans. So it was really great to be part of that experience. I mean, really. And great to give so many people, you know, who could make it to San Francisco or just happen to live in San Francisco, which lucky me, got to check out. It really was that it's something unique that I haven't experienced and I think could really, really has a place in the convention and gaming and nerd scene. I'm really excited to see the future of TwitchCon.
I was really impressed to see that currently their numbers are listed that 20,000 people attended over the 2 days, mm-hmm. and they had 1.9 million hits streaming.
I believe that.
Pretty phenomenal. I'm not surprised by that, but I was like, mm-hmm. wow. So where do you see this quote-unquote con going in the future? Because it's not really an atypical convention.
Where do I see it in the future? Let's see. I think I do see a lot more. I think that the panels are definitely important. Lots of people are interested in doing the streaming themselves. The women in gaming, excuse me, in particular. One of the questions that was asked was, how can I, you know, make, because of course, one of the concerns is, what about the girls you see on the front page with the boobs hanging out? And then the panel response was like, well, you know, of course, everybody has the right to dress how they want, and everybody has the right to run their own Twitch stream the way that they like. So go out and they said, you do you. That's how they said. And it's really about empowering people to take their hobby into a new place. And whether it's, you know, going in to try to make money off of it, which, you know, for me is like, well, you know, if it happens, it happens. But doing it because you love it, and sharing that love with other people, I think that's really what it's all about. And how it is just bringing this nerddom, this fandom to everybody, and with technology being as readily available as it is nowadays, and prices are dropping, it's just really exciting to see all this progress. So I'd like to see more like how-to panels. I'd like to see, you know, I mean, they have plenty of things, you know, of games and sponsors, brands there, to experience the new things there, kind of like PAX-ish ease. So you get a little bit of that experience too. They had a huge corner cordoned off with I guess you could call it a kind of a LAN space where everybody could just sit down and play and have a good time doing the things they love. So you could game while you're there. You didn't have to sit down and watch other people game, and that's also part of the draw. You can sit there and play while you're watching your favorite streamer sit down and play. So, I mean, like I guess it was super unique, and I thought it's a really cool idea for a convention, and I really do see, I'm really interested to see how they, you know, what they take from the experience and what they decide to grow, what they decide to maybe put on the back burner, try something a little bit different for later. And like I said about cosplay, I do see opportunities there as well. People want to cosplay. It's just kind of it is what it is now. It's kind of almost expected, you know?
Yeah. I'm waiting for the day when streamer cosplay becomes like habitual. Like you'll start seeing PewDiePie cosplay.
Yeah. Oh yeah, there's that whole division of Twitch, Twitch/Creative, I think. You know, you got people that will sit there and draw on their tablet and say, "Well, I'm gonna do the face like this," and make sure you use long strokes I don't have my list up, but plenty of people will do cosplay work, and I'm kicking myself for not thinking of names right now. But check out Twitch/Creative if you want somebody to see, if you want to see somebody stream. They'll have pictures of the thing they're working on, you know, what piece they're working on, what it is they're doing right now. Really interesting and something that we could all take a lot away from. It doesn't have to be cosplay. It doesn't have to be drawing. It doesn't have to be anything. Anybody could do anything now, and I think that's really the most magical part of this whole personal streaming phenomenon.
It kind of is at this point, given how popular it's been so recently. I mean, the fact that we're even doing this via Google of all things, I mean, not even 3 years ago, my brain still can't comprehend it. We used to be doing this on Skype, and now it's like Google is the thing. Mm-hmm. We have to do it on Google because it's the best.
Yeah, you know, you got it.
So is there anything that you didn't like about the convention?
You know, it just the basic first, you know, growing pains. I mean, I heard the first day registration was kind of a problem, but you know, as far as, you know, the kind of hiccups you would expect, it wasn't that bad, and you understand. Yeah, I really can't think of too much, I guess lighting, but really, I don't think I would change too much. I thought that they had it with the variety of things that were streaming at the moment. I think I walked by, somebody was getting his head shaved live on Twitch. Was one of the things. I mean, it was the whole atmosphere of the event. It was just pretty much anything goes, you know, be respectful. I mean, there wasn't anything that raised a red flag to me, and that's part of the reason I'm so encouraged. It was because that is for a first attempt. I gotta say, that's another reason why I'm so excited to see the future.
Very cool. Now, oh goodness, now what was my question? My question has died away. Oh, there it is. So I also saw that TwitchCon was only 2 days, is on Friday and Saturday.
Right.
Do you think that helped it, or do you think that hindered it? Because it's very unique to have it as a Friday, Saturday instead of like a Saturday, Sunday.
You know, I wish I was there on Friday. I would be able to answer your question a little bit better. I'm not entirely sure. I think a lot of it this time around was very within the business related. I know that a lot of it was for making business connections and being able to grow the business of streaming and the businesses of gaming and building the community and everything. So I wonder if that was it was one of the reasoning for doing it on Friday instead of Saturday, Sunday. But also San Francisco is a very laid back town and people get tend to get off early, that kind of thing. So really, that's my best guess. I'm afraid I can't tell you much more than that. But that's a very interesting question. I would be interested to learn the answer about that.
Do you think there's enough content for them to actually expand it out to 3 days?
3 days. By next year, maybe. By next year, maybe. I know that they're, when they can get, I know they didn't have, I mean, there's always people that, you know, they can't make travel or what have you, but I'm sure that, you know, once people can look at this and see it as, you know, well, I think it was, you know, a success that it was, they can go, oh man, I wish I was there last year. I have to make up a point to come this year, be able to have something to look back on as an example and say, yes, I need to be there. Or, I don't know, it's the first one. We'll see how this goes out. I think the fact that they have one under their belt now will really help it grow exponentially in the future coming up here. So I would think probably, I would think probably, especially and especially because like there's so much more out there, and as more and more people do start, you know, seeing personal streaming as like a thing, and the way that my husband and I, as I was saying, kind of view it as like our primary TV now, really. It's we'll put in a stream during dinner, that we do that. It's so much fun. It'll be a little bit more. It puts the name out there. It really makes it more. It grows the product, really. If more people are aware of the product, more people will be able to provide that content for that 3-day weekend.
Okay, so this next question I have to ask because San Francisco ain't cheap. As someone who has visited on many occasions because my brother lives there. For someone who's coming in from out of town or maybe even outside the state or outside the country, do you think TwitchCon is worth the investment?
The investment. Yeah, I mean, this time around, I couldn't tell you how much ticket sales were because I was able, I have connections, so I got lucky this time. But I don't know about this time just because it was kind of a gamble because you don't know how is it going to go? Am I going to be able to get in on time? You know, what kind of hiccups do you expect? But I would assume, you know, if they can take any lessons they've learned from here and apply them to the future, I would say yes. I mean, it's definitely, you do not by any stretch of the imagination have to rent a hotel in the city of San Francisco. We've got a great transportation system. We've got BART, which will get you into the city. We've got Muni, which will keep you in the city. I love it because I got to say driving and parking in the city is an absolute nightmare. But no, yeah. So travel is actually not as bad. I mean, you know, it takes a little longer, but you just boot up a game on your Nintendo or what have you on your phone and keep yourself busy on the train. That's what I do. But yeah, I mean, it's not like the kind of investment you'd be putting into a PAX, let's say. But there is no experience like this, being able to meet these regular people that are just sitting down at their computers, like you and me with a webcam, having a chat or playing a game, and being able to just, you know, get excited about something so organically and share that at a personal level. I think if you're looking for that kind of experience, I don't want to say alternative because that sounds like a bad thing, but you know, there's nothing else out there like that. So.
Very awesome. Okay. Well, that's all the questions I have. Do you have anything else you want to add about your TwitchCon experience?
Everybody was wonderful. I gotta say, I had a blast. And I am definitely looking forward to next year. I can't wait to see what they bring back. If they, you know, what they're going to have on the big screen. I'd like to see maybe some tournaments, just, just as, I mean, we're all gamers. It'd be fun to see. It'd be fun. You know, the live streams that we had, you said 1.9 million viewers, I think, tuning in. I mean, if they could really, really explode their viewer base and the expansion of their product, I am pretty stoked. Like, it actually inspired me to start, you know, start thinking about streaming. My husband gets back from New York. We're going to see if we can't hook something up. Because, so, I mean, it's pretty simple. And it's just about doing what you love and sharing that. And, you know, it doesn't matter how big your viewer base is, as long as, you know, you're putting out, you're doing what you love. And if you can share it, that's amazing. That's wonderful.
I have to say, yeah, the only time I really get into Twitch is during Extra Life, because that's the one thing I do every year. But yeah, it even just for those 24 hours, it's just such a blast. And you can't help but smile and have fun with it, even if there's only one person watching you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh. Yeah, one person. Oh, my gosh. Hi, viewer. What's going on? How's
exactly.
Your
you start
going?
Up a 20-minute conversation while you're trying to be Mario and be like, stop dying, Mario.
Yeah, I know. It's great. And being an English major, I really appreciate the value of a second opinion. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm watching Pangea Panga, I think, right now is going through making super difficult Mario levels. You guys gotta check it out. It's amazing. But people going in and making suggestions like, well, why don't you do a shell jump here? Or, you know, I think you have to bounce a little higher, you have to lower this or move that down. And it's really fun. This whole group, it's like a little less of a not cursing, a little less of a mess than maybe Twitch plays Pokemon. It's Twitch is making a Mario level, and you know, it's through the medium of some of an expert, and it's nothing like I've ever seen before. I really.
But clearly, you're going back next year.
if at all possible, we'll see where life takes us. We've been, you know, all around the country since 2011. So, but we'll make it a point, I'm sure, to get back to San Francisco, if only just because we love the city and we love Twitch. So, most certainly.
That's all you need to know. Well, thank you so much, Catherine. And there you go. There's your review of TwitchCon, everybody.
Well, thanks for having me on. I had a blast, and always I love sharing with all of you guys.
Thank you, as always.
Always a pleasure.
And welcome back, everybody. Thank you again to Catherine for covering TwitchCon for us. We, of course, do sincerely appreciate all of our correspondents. They do help us out by covering cons that we can't go to because we can't be everywhere at once.
Many thank you to you ladies. You have no idea how helpful you are.
Indeed. And as this episode is recording the same weekend that we are actually at ANT, so in advance, I would like to say to those who celebrate it, happy Thanksgiving to you. Hopefully everybody has a wonderful time with family and friends and loved ones. Remember that as much food as you eat, you still have to fit into that costume later. And I would also like to say for those who are physically going out for Black Friday sales, for whatever reason, please be safe. Safety first. Your life is not worth that video game. Please do not pepper spray your fellow customers.
I do also want to point out that most of the sales are not as good on Black Friday anymore. Usually you have to wait a couple of weeks after. Sometimes this first, second week of December has way better sales than Black Friday because they're trying to clear out inventory.
Yep. So this is a fantastic time of year to start acquiring supplies, replenish anything that's missing for next year, because con season is obviously going to start back up, if it hasn't already, for those who are attending IckyCon and RealmsCon. So
there's so many conventions.
There's always conventions, but sales are obviously a better time to stock up because then you don't have to spend as much money.
Thank goodness. Especially with certain things like Notions or Thread. I mean, good gravy. If you can stock up on Thread when they're half price, it is a godsend.
And actually, Coates and Clark Thread is, I think it's 60% off at Joann's this coming week.
Oh, perfect, because I totally don't need more black thread.
All right. Well, once again, happy holidays to everybody. We will see you guys in episode 104. Take care.
Bye, guys.